content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to our September 2025 edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. This program is brought to you by the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons, all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. Now, the Friends Group was founded in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you would like to join the Friends Group yourself, we'll have information on how to do that later in this program. This program is all about books available from the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. The library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and talking books as well. The library also has more than 11,000 patrons across the state. And if you're not a patron, but you're interested in becoming one, I'll have more information about that at the end of this program as well. This month, we look at some of the most popular books checked out in the month of August at the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. Let's begin with a book called 25 Alive. It's a new one by James Patterson and Maxine Petro. Those who haven't read any of the novels in the Women's Murder Club series are cheating themselves. That's what the book reporter has to say about this. Kind of an intriguing review. Here's the plot for this one. Sergeant Lindsay Boxer, medical examiner Claire Washburn, assistant district attorney Yuki Castellano, and crime reporter Cindy Thomas investigate the shocking murder of a former San Francisco PD chief in San Francisco's Golden Gate Park. SFPD homicide detective Lindsay Boxer knows her way around a crime scene, but nothing can prepare her for the shock of recognition. The victim is Warren Jacoby, Lindsay's one-time partner who rose to chief of police. A top investigator until the end, Jacoby managed to leave Lindsay a clue. Following a trail of evidence along the West Coast, the Women's Murder Club pledges to avenge Jacoby's death before the killer can take another one of their own. Once again, the book is called 25 Alive by James Patterson and Maxine Petro, and it's a continuation of the Women's Murder Club series. We've read summaries of several of those books over the past few years. Now let's turn to another new book. This one's by Michael Conley. It's called Nightshade. This is an inaugural entry in a new series which features a Bosch-worthy private investigator. Bosch is a name that you are probably familiar with if you read or listen to Michael Conley. Michael Conley may well be the most successful and popular crime fiction writer working today. Nightshade is his 47th novel. The preceding 46 were all bestsellers. What a track record. There's no reason to think this one won't follow suit. Here's the plot. With Nightshade, Connolly is launching a new series, this one starring L.A. County Detective Sergeant Still Stillwell. In addition to the Bosch novels, Connolly has two other hugely popular series, Mickey Haller, the Lincoln Lawyer, so-called because he handles his cases from the back seat of a Lincoln sedan, and L.A. Detective Renee Ballard, head of the department's cold case unit. He also has two other minor but excellent series, one featuring reporter Jack McAvoy and the other anchored by FBI agent Terry McCallum. All of them are set in the same fictional Bosch universe, and the characters frequently appear in each other's stories. Sergeant Stillwell is no exception. He also exists in the Bosch universe, as Connolly adds a throwaway line in Nightshade about an event that occurred in a recent Ballard Bosch novel. Perhaps Still and Bosch will cross paths in a future Stillwell adventure. If so, there are sure to be sparks over their differing, though similarly unyielding, approaches to investigations. Well, at the opening of this book that we're talking about, Nightshade, Still has been assigned to the sheriff's office on Catalina, a resort island about 25 miles off the coast of Los Angeles that serves as a sort of slough house for misfit deputies. This 6 months earlier, Still got into an unruly altercation with a fellow detective over the resolution to a homicide case they were working on. It's what earned him this ticket to Catalina. Now, while still bitter over his exile, Still has become reconciled to it and is comfortable with his new assignment, helped not incidentally by his relationship with Assistant Harbor Master Natasha, or Tasha, Dano. But his idol is shattered one fine morning when the body of a young woman wrapped in a sail bag and weighted by an anchor is discovered in Avalon Bay. Now, the corpse has dark hair with a dyed purple streak, the color of nightshade, the beautiful but poisonous flower that grows on the island. Homicides on Catalina are investigated by detectives from the mainland. One of the two assigned to this case is Ahern, the cop Still tangled with half a year prior. Ahern orders him to stay away from the case. Of course, Still ignores the order and begins his own investigation when he concludes that Ahern is again about to go for the easy and the wrong solution. The antagonism between Still and Ahern is renewed when they're forced to partner in solving the Nightshade murder after Still turns up some crucial clues. Still has the same work ethic as Bosch, whose credo is everybody counts or nobody counts. Ahern's credo is more along the lines of resolve the case rightly or wrongly. The murdered woman's character wasn't the most sterling, but Still is nonetheless dogged in his pursuit of justice for her. Meanwhile, he's working a second, apparently more mundane case. A protected buffalo on the island has been killed and mutilated. The media hypes the story as possible evidence of alien activity. Still suspects it's actually a cruel attempt to increase tourism. But the carcass turns out to be only the tip of a much more sinister and corrupt scheme that ultimately threatens Still and those he cares about. As with all of Connolly's books, there's a relentless narrative drive powering the story along to an explosive climax. His plotting, as usual, is tight and without a school of red herrings to distract the reader. Its strengths are its evocative atmosphere, realistic dialogue, and well-developed characters. Still is a complex and troubled individual whose obsession with unearthing the truth results in mistakes, some tragic. His girlfriend, Tosh, is a native of Catalina, and she won't let her love for him overcome her love for the island, its culture, and its traditions, and her way of life, especially as his increasing fixation on his cases threatens their relationship. Come what may, Still is sure to soon take his place alongside Harry, Mickey, and Renee as a beloved Connolly stalwart. And once again, the title of this book is Nightshade, and it was written by the popular author Michael Connolly. Now let's move on to another novel. This one is by Freda McFadden, and it is called The Wife Upstairs. Victoria Barnett has it all. a great career as a nurse practitioner, a handsome and loving husband, a beautiful home in the suburbs, and a plan to fill it with children. Life is perfect, or so it seems. Then she's in a terrible accident, and her life is forever damaged. Sylvia Robinson is hired as a caregiver for Victoria. Sylvia moves into a spare room, feeds Victoria, and takes her on long walks. The two women become friends. But, as it turns out, this simple nursing job is more than what it seems. As Sylvia and Victoria's friendship grows, Sylvia realizes that Victoria is desperately trying to tell her something. If only she could speak. Sounds like a great mystery. It's The Wife Upstairs, and it's by Frieda McFadden. Now, another book that just came out in 2025, early summer, very popular. It's called The First Gentleman, and it is by former President Bill Clinton and his writing colleague James Patterson. Here's the story about this one. The former president teams up again with the industrial strength Tailspinner to deliver an action-packed mystery. Here's the plot for this one. Cole Wright is in big trouble. Thanks to the dogged diggings of former Boston Globe reporter Garrett Wilson and his partner, sometime lawyer Bree Cook, the former New England Patriots tight end is on trial for murdering his cheerleader girlfriend 17 years earlier. Thing is, Cole is now married to Madeline Parson Wright, the President of the United States. Of them, Bree spits, they're not a couple, they're a damn criminal enterprise. Garrett and Bree are shopping a book in which they claim to have hard evidence that Cole Wright killed Suzanne Bonanno. But as they probe deeper into the story, things become murky. Mafiosi, a contract killer, FBI agents, overworked cops, a law professor with deep insight into Cole's enemies, and sleek political operatives all wait their turn to complicate this tale. For all the tangled threads, Clinton and Patterson turn in a taut yarn that's satisfyingly stuffed with red herrings, a neatly engineered conspiracy, and more than a few dead bodies. One is tempted, of course, to read between the lines. The first gentleman is, after all, married to the first woman president, and there's a vast right-wing effort to stymie her efforts to forge a grand bargain that, among other things, is going to increase the legal immigration quota by 1 million people per year for a decade, raise the corporate tax rate to an ironclad 15%, and bring back Al Gore's Reinventing Government initiative from the 1990s. Suffice it to say that the primary audience for the book is not the MAGA crowd. Carefully constructed, entertaining escapism with a political edge, and just the thing for beach or airplane reading. This is a book that just came out in June of this year. It's called The First Gentleman by Bill Clinton and James Patterson. Now a book by Nora Roberts. This one is called Hidden Nature. The number one New York Times bestselling author, Nora Roberts, presents a novel about an injured cop who must fight to bring down a pair of twisted killers. Natural Resources police officer Sloane Cooper and her partner had just taken down three men preying on hikers in the western Maryland mountains. Driving back, she pulled in at a convenience store and walked right into a robbery in progress. One gunshot from a jittery thief was about to change her world. After being shocked back to life on the operating table, she has a long recovery ahead. So she moves back to her parents' peaceful house in Heron's Rest. As for the boyfriend who dumped her via text while she was in the hospital, good riddance. She may be down, but she's not out. So when a woman vanishes, leaving her car behind in a supermarket parking lot, Sloan searches online for similar cases. She finds them spread across three states. Men and women, old and young, the missing seem to have nothing in common, and the abductions keep happening. Luckily, the new man in her life shares her passion for solving this mystery, but it will take every ounce of endurance to get to the dark heart of this bizarre case, and she's willing to risk her life again if that's what it takes to stop the horror. The book is called Hidden Nature, and it's by Nora Roberts. And you're listening to Heard Any Good Books Lately, a production of the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me on the program today. Now let's turn to a book by a novelist that we've all enjoyed reading for many, many years, the great Stephen King. This is a new book by King. It's called Never Flinch. Here's the plot for this one. Two killers are on the loose. Can they be stopped? In this ambitious, prolific, and popular King story, King tells the story of a serial murderer who pledges in a note to Buckeye City Police to kill 13 innocents and one guilty in order, we eventually learn, to avenge the death of a man who was framed and convicted for possession of child pornography and then killed in prison. Now, at the same time, the author weaves in the efforts of another would-be murderer, a member of a violently abortion-opposing church, who has been stalking a popular feminist author and women's rights activist on a publicity tour. Now, to tell these twin tales of murders, done and intended, King summons some familiar characters, including private investigator Holly Gibney, who readers may recall from previous novels. Gibney is enlisted to help Buckeye City Police Detective Izzy Janes try to identify and stop the serial killer who has been murdering random, unlucky citizens with chilling efficiency. She's also been hired as a bodyguard for author and activist Kate McKay and her young assistant. The author succeeds in grabbing the reader's interest and holding it through this page-turning tale of terror, which reads like a big-screen thriller. The action is well-paced, the settings are vividly drawn, and King's choice to focus on the real and deadly dangers of extremist thought is admirable. But the book is hamstrung by cliched characters, hackneyed dialogue, both spoken and internal, and motives that feel both convoluted and overly simplistic. King shines brightest when he gets to the heart of our darkest fears and desires. But here the dangers seem a bit cerebral. In his warning letter to the police, the serial killer wonders if his cryptic rationale to murder will make sense to others, concluding, "It does to me, and that is enough." Is it enough? In another writer's work, it might not be, but in King's skilled hands, it probably is. Even when King is not at his best, he is still very good. And this is a summary and a review about a new book called Never Flinch by Stephen King. Now let's turn to a book entitled, very simply, Guilty by Laura Elliott. And this is also a review that was done by Barbara Lipkin Gershenbaum in May of a few years ago, 2019. This is not a new one. Guilty by Laura Elliott is a highly suspenseful novel featuring a cast of carefully limbed characters and a tightly woven plot. 13-year-old Constance Lawson is reported missing by her parents. Not a sign of her appears, despite meticulous searching by the police and townspeople. But her uncle, Carl Lawson, is targeted by journalist Amanda Bowe, who points her pen toward him and make sure that everyone believes he is the prime suspect. She destroys him, and he winds up in jail. He always has maintained his innocence, yet no one believes him. He remains in prison until a townsman leaves a suicide note pointing to where he buried Constance's body. Well, as the narrative unfolds, readers learn that Carl has a record. He was arrested for the severe beating and rape of his then-girlfriend, Selena. Although he claimed he was not guilty of that crime, too, he was sent to prison. He never told anyone about this incident, and both his wife, Nicole, and brother, Justin, are outraged when they hear the news. "It wasn't the police who exonerated me. It was Selena," he tells them. Justin loses his temper and punches Carl in the face. Justin's wife, Jenna, pulls them apart and sinks to her knees beside Carl, begging him to help the parents find their daughter. At the present time, Carl is sent to prison until that suicide note exonerates him. But when he is let out of jail, his life is ruined. His family is completely broken apart. He loses his job as an editor, and he is still under suspicion for the disappearance of his niece. Carl ends up losing everything he ever had and makes a life on the street. He percolates with all the wrongs done to him and pulls off a horrendous crime against his nemesis, Amanda Bowe. Carl kidnaps Amanda's 4-year-old son, Marcus, and keeps him in a state of fantasy in the place he created out of his imaginary Plinks children's characters that he invented. But he is cheated by Laura Richardson, Amanda's husband and mogul of a huge media conglomerate. Laura buys the rights to the Plinks and all of the manufacturing interests, which makes millions of dollars for him and nothing for Carl, who renames himself Ben Carroll. The police, the people involved in the children's disappearances, and the families float in a flotilla of red herrings meant to tease readers and keep them on their toes. The level of suspense is kept high throughout Guilty, and those who enjoy stories that just can't be put down will love this psychological thriller. Once again, the book is called Guilty, and it's by Laura Elliott, and it was reviewed for us by Barbara Lipkin Gershenbaum. Now, another new book by the prolific author David Baldacci. This is a book entitled A Calamity of Souls, and it is a book that is set in London in 1944 about a bereaved bookshop owner and two teenagers scarred by the Second World War and the revealing, or rather, and the healing and hope they find in one another in this riveting story of secrets, betrayals, and unlikely friendships. Here's the plot for this one, Strangers in Time. 14-year-old Charlie Matters is up to no good, but for a very good reason. Without parents, peerage, or merit, he steals what he needs, living day to day until he's old enough to enlist to fight the Germans. After barely surviving the Blitz, Charlie knows there's no telling when a falling bomb might end his life. 15-year-old Molly Wakefield has just returned to a nearly unrecognizable London, one of millions of children to have been evacuated to the countryside. Molly has been away from her home for nearly 5 years. Her return, however, is not the homecoming she'd hoped for, as she is confronted by a devastating reality. Neither of her parents are there. Without guardians and stability, Charlie and Molly find an unexpected ally and protector in Ignatius Oliver and solace at his bookshop, the Book Keep. Mourning the recent loss of his wife, Ignatius forms a kinship with both children, and in each other they rediscover the spirit of family that each had lost. But Charlie's escapades in the city have not gone unnoticed, and someone has been following Molly since she returned to London. And Ignatius is harboring his own secrets, which could have terrible consequences for all of them. As bombs continue to bear down on the city, Charlie, Molly, and Ignatius learn that while the perils of war rage on, their coming together and trusting one another may be the only way for them to survive. Once again, this book is called Strangers in Time. It's a World War II novel by David Baldacci. And we have time for one more here. This is a book called Stuart Wood's Finders Keepers. It's a Stone Barrington novel, but it was written by Brett Battles. He's the author of Stone Wood's Finders Keepers. In this latest thrilling adventure in the number one New York Times best-selling series, Stone Barrington is caught in the lethal crossfire between a dear friend and a secret enemy from his past. Now, after attending an Arrington Properties meeting at the group's newest location, the Vineyard Arrington on Martha's Vineyard, Stone Barrington returns to New York City to catch up with his old friend Jack Coulter. Over lunch, Jack requests Stone's help in settling his niece Sarah into city life post-divorce. Always one to please, Stone takes Sarah under his wing. But when various men from Sarah's past start getting hurt, and Jack's loved ones find themselves a target in a deadly scheme, it's up to Stone to put the pieces together before the shrouded conspirer manages to tear them all apart permanently. Once again, the book is called Stuart Wood's Finders Keepers. It is a Stone Barrington novel, and it was released in hardcover just a few months ago in June of 2025. The author is Brett Battles. And that's just about all the time we have for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately. I'm George Douglas. I hope you enjoyed the program today. If you'd like more information about how to become a patron of the State Library of North Carolina, accessible books and library services, simply Google or search for Accessible Books, North Carolina Library. Easy to find. Or you can call toll-free 888-388-2460. That's 888-388-2460. You can also use the same numbers and website to join the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. It is that wonderful organization that sponsors this monthly feature on books. This program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Heard Any Good Books Lately will be available right after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time.